You know him from The Daily Show. You know him from his weekly sets on YouTube. Please make a bunch of noise right now for my friend Josh Johnson!
I think that the gift that someone gives you says a lot about who they think you are. I was given a gift by a friend, and I could tell that he hadn't given gifts to people who weren't like in his immediate family or people he was dating, you know? Because there are some people, they're very good at giving gifts. Like, they have a real talent. It's an impeccable, like, uncanny way that they can just tell what you need or what you'd really enjoy, and they get you that exact thing without you even having to say it. And then there are men. And so, and my buddy got me a gift. Usually when you give someone a gift, they're like family or it's a special occasion. You know you're going to have to get them a gift, right? It's rare, especially as you get older, to make a friend and become close enough that you need to get them a gift. That's like a barrier that some people just don't. Like if you're a coworker and y'all have been hanging out outside of work and everything, and then Christmas comes around, you're like, you know what? Let me get my coworker, let me get my buddy a Christmas gift. You don't have to. They may not be expecting it, but someone has to, like, make that jump first. And my friend got me a gift, and you could tell I was the first person outside of, like, family or a girlfriend that he had to get a gift for, because he got me socks. And when I say socks, understand, I mean a pair. Not like a bunch of socks, not a bunch of different crazies. He got me socks. And I don't know what that says about me. I don't know what that says he thinks about, because I've never been around him barefoot. I've never given the indication that socks is what I'm missing. I've never been in sandals around him. I've never had ashy feet. He's never seen my toenails. There's no reason socks I'd look covered for, you know? And so he got me these socks, and if you're going to give somebody, as a gift, if you're going to give somebody socks, just hand them to them. This man put the socks in a bag that was nicer than the socks. The bag, the bag was very nice. I thought he got me a watch or something. The bag... look, designer. And it had too much tissue paper in it. You could tell he had never got anybody else a gift before, because the level of tissue paper was clearly all the tissue paper that came when he bought tissue paper. It was every sheet of tissue paper was open and then crinkled in the back. It took me a magician's amount of time to pull all the tissue paper out of this bag. And I was pulling so much tissue paper out, I thought he got me nothing. That would have been better and funny. That would have been dope if at the end I pull out tissue paper and he's like, ah, you know what I mean? Instead, I pull out the last piece of tissue paper and at the bottom, flat, is socks. And I'm not, look, any gift, any action like that, any act of love like that, I genuinely appreciate. And so I said thank you instead of why. I could have said why. I was thinking why. But I said thank you. Right? And inspected the socks a little bit, and there was something amiss, because it was two socks. But one sock had an R on it. And one sock had an L on it. And these, for the final time, weren't novelty socks. They weren't like a cool designer thing. The R and the L looked written. So... you are indicating I need a ton of help. I don't know what I have done or said around this man to be given a sock with an R on it and a sock with an L on it, because when they make socks, they leave it up to you. When all these sock makers make socks, they're like, you know what? I bet he gonna figure it out. You know, I don't even think you could do it wrong unless you put two on one. He gave me a sock with an R and a sock with an L, and had the absolute audacity to smile at me and nod, wait for his thank you like a little kid. It's wedding season, and I've been to a ton of weddings. In my life, I've been to a lot of weddings. A lot of people that I know love people. And I will say, outside, the only like good weddings I've been to are my girlfriend's friends and some of my family. Anytime it's my friend getting married, it is a disaster in one way or another. Weddings already make me nervous. Weddings make me very, very nervous sometimes because I want everything to go well for them. You know, I get nervous for the bride and the groom. Not even that I think that they're going to mess up, they're going to do anything. I just want it to be. You spend so much money on a day like this. You want it to be perfect, you know. And it's two people that love each other that made a moment for everyone that they love to be there together. I want it to go perfect for them. And I've been to plenty of beautiful weddings. Truly amazing weddings. But there are a few aspects of every wedding where things could go wrong. You know, this is where you're starting to spin some plates, make sure everything's on the ceremony, right? A lot of people do the ceremony different by culture, sometimes just different by personality. So there's a lot of different things in there that you have to be on top of. Do you have a wedding planner? Do you not have a wedding planner? Whatever it is, there's so many details, you know? Vows? There was a... okay. I think it's beautiful when people write their own vows. I do. I think it's very sweet because it's very easy to go up there, you know, and just do what you're quote-unquote supposed to do. I'm not saying there's any right or wrong way to do it, but people clearly put some specific thought into what they wanted to say. And I think that for them, that's amazing, you know, because every relationship is different. Some people need to say some extra stuff on top of the baseline stuff just to make sure, okay, but in front of everybody. God. And, I've been to plenty of weddings where people write their own vows, and it shows the relationship that they've built over the time that they were together, engaged, everything. And it shows what's important to them specifically in this relationship. But there was one wedding where they wrote their own vows, and she went first, And they were beautiful. They were commitments that she was making in front of everyone to him, things that she was going to do because she knew how important they were to him, and ways that she would nurture him and make him feel like the person that he felt that day, right? We're going to keep this moment forever. And he also had some beautiful, beautiful vows, commitments that he was making to her, that he wanted her to understand he would keep until the day that he died. The only problem is he wrapped them. This man wrapped the vows and didn't tell anybody he was gonna do it. This man wrapped the vows, and even the pastor was like, I don't rap at all, but I've never rapped in a way that made someone lean away from me. Also, just throwing this out there, if you're gonna rap at all, like if you're gonna rap, like, because he had no, there was no beat. He just went full 8 Mile last verse with it. And if you're gonna go a cappella, just start rapping. This man kicked it off with a. Dude, if your vowels start with there's just... You're in the most singular relationship of human history. Like, and it wasn't just like, never start rapping like you about to double dutch. This man over here. Tell she wanted to be like, what's happening? She is probably watching him just praying it's a stroke. Like, that's a stroke would at least mean everybody gonna feel bad for you. We can come back later, do this whole thing again. This man over here. Double. Either do it or don't. Don't. This man wrapped his vows and they were a couple pages long. They went on for a while, and when he got done, pastor's like, so do you take that? She said no. And and to be clear, she didn't just flat out hit him with a no. She went, which is a reasonable response. But I was split on it, because it's like, you're getting married, and if you're going to marry someone, you should know whether they're going to impromptu rap or not. Like, that feels like a very particular trait. If that went over your head, y'all have problems as a couple that need to be worked out that are beyond the hip-hop. Because it's like that, it was tough. It was tough. Because on one hand, I was like, I get it. And on the other, I was like, all right, but like, once you're engaged, I feel like the ick's got to go out of the window. Do you know what I mean? Like, love is supposed to go over ick. When you are with a person and you declare you're going to be with a person for the rest of your life, you do take on their embarrassment. Like, think about it. Like, you'll be married one day being like, yeah, that over there embarrassing me, that's who I... Till we die, I'm going to be embarrassed. That's what I signed up for. Well, the ceremonies are also short. Like, as much of the wedding day is about the couple, the actual ceremony is usually not that long. No? And I've been to full-on, like, mass Catholic weddings where even the priest was like, okay. But there's just so many different things that could go off the rails, you know? There's that moment in a lot of weddings, especially when you do the traditional vows, traditional reading and everything, where they say, if anyone has cause, if anyone, it's different wording in different places, but if anyone knows why these two should not be wed, speak now or forever hold your peace. And most weddings I've been to, everybody at least look. I'm not saying they look because they don't believe in the couple. I think they look to see if there's drama is about to occur. You don't want somebody to stand up and then you got to turn around all late and stuff. You know, you just give a quick little, just dignified, sophisticated, quick little I, okay, all right. You don't turn all the way around. A lot of weddings I've been to, people look. And there's also the officiant, you know, who marries the couple. A lot of times it's a friend, sometimes it's like especially if it's like a religious ceremony, it's your pastor, your priest, maybe someone whose church you've gone to for a long time. And that's very important to the couples that it's important to. I want this person to marry us, you know? And every once in a while, you can tell. I've been to a wedding or two. I went to a lot of weddings in my early 20s, when a bunch of my friends were getting married. I was living in Chicago and stuff. And I would go to the wedding thinking like, wow, I'm over here by myself. They've already got life figured out. They picked their life partner already. We're like 22. This is wild, you know? And I remember one time I got off work. I got the one day off work, so I had to miss the rehearsal dinner. And so I took a bus the next day, and being like 20-something, I didn't think it through. And so I just was like, let me go ahead. I'm going to barely make it to the wedding as is. Let me go ahead and be dressed on the bus. And so I get on the bus, and the bus's air conditioner is broken. And so I sweat for 3 hours to the wedding. But I lucked out because I get to the wedding and it turns out at the rehearsal dinner, everybody got food poisoning. So I look about as bad as anybody else. We're all sweating. And the pastor officiating the wedding clearly was like the worst off, you know? Everybody clearly had like a little bit of an upset stomach and like, you know, sweat some of it out and everything. Some people looked a little green and stuff. But the pastor was fighting to get through this ceremony, and they want a ceremony at a church, and so he has to do a whole sermon that's attached to, like, getting them to the vows, right? And you can tell he's losing it. Because there's a point where he's sweating, and he's not sweating. A lot of preachers sweat, but they sweat after they preached. This man was sweating from the start, and he started clearly getting delirious because he was quoting Bible verses that are not in there. He's over here talking about, like, the fifth book of Corinthians, and I'm like, nah, dog. I think you see in double. I think you see in extra Roman numerals in that Bible. You need to sit down and deliver some of this sermon. And every once in a while, you could tell he was like, feeling himself, like he was breaking it for a second. And he'd be like, because God! And then anytime he tried to get, like, real preacher with it, you could tell he was like, uh-oh. There's just so many things. Even the ceremony. Figuring out how to get people from the ceremony to the reception is sometimes a battle, especially if they're not in the same place. You know, I've been to a lot of beautiful weddings where they were in the same location. You just got to walk to, like, the other part of the building or right outside or wherever, and it all works. If you got to get people from one location to another, it can be treacherous. People can be lost. I don't drink, so I don't really deal with this particular aspect. I don't know in a wedding when people are supposed to get drunk. I just know they start getting drunk right after I do. And some of it, I'm like, when? When did you drink? How? We just sat down to eat. How? And there's the dancing. The dance, one of my favorite things, okay, I've been invited to a lot of my white friends' weddings, and what I love, one of my favorite things in the world, is the moment that you can tell they're about to break it down. The absolute moment that they have locked in, and I don't know if it's the liquor, the song, I don't know what it is, but they're like, I don't care who's looking, I don't care who I came here with, I'm about to express myself. Everywhere. And what I love about it is a thing that I notice. Once again, in my 20s, going to some of my friends' weddings from back in Louisiana and stuff, there's a face. There's a face that a white dude makes right before he breaks it down. And I would be lying if I said it's not the identical face a white dude has before he says the most racist thing you've ever heard. And they are so exactly the same. It's that full upside down smile, that full, like. This is the face that a white dude makes before he Dougies is the same face that was outside of every school that was getting integrated, all right? This is a face like no other. This is, you know, there is so much joy when a white man makes this face. He's either about to do the worst thing possible or the best thing he's ever done. I am telling you, it is one of the most spectacular things you could ever watch. Because it is coming from a place so pure. I don't know how many drinks it takes. Some people doesn't take a drink at all. Some people, that's just who that comes out. No? Then you have the reception, you have the speeches. And the speeches can be tricky. Most weddings, best man gives a speech, maid of honor gives a speech, maybe the parents, you know, some family gives a speech. And I don't know if you know you're going to give a speech. Because this is hard. Like, a wedding speech is intimidating because it's like everything wrapped into one. Everything that scares people about public speaking wrapped into one thing. You have to be kind of funny. You have to be heartfelt. You have to be moving. You have to, like, really make people remember the speech, at least in your head. You got to do all this in, like, a matter of a couple minutes because you don't want it to be too long, you know, and you don't want to bust out crying and not be able to continue because then people will be like, what's going on? And so it's tough. I still remember. Okay. It was a wedding where the best man, you know, got a little drunk. So already the speech is going to tilt. It's not going to be its best. And he used the best man speech to pretty much profess his love for the groom, right? And it's like, bruh, you are exactly one ceremony late. When they ask if anyone has any reason that these two should not be wed, it was kinda in case this happens. It was speak now or forever. Don't. Dude, stand up there. So me and Chet are boys. Yeah, I mean, we boys. You know, we always been boys. Chet's boys. It's amazing. And then Alyssa came. You know, Alyssa came along and ruined it. Oh, I've just been thinking about a lot of wedding stuff. I was reading the news and saw Jeff Bezos got married to, yeah, no, I know. He's not here. But, like, this is the thing. He got married in Venice and it was supposed to be, I believe, at least at the city center until everyone protested. And then they had to move it because, you know, the people in Venice were like, why would we let you do this in our face? Like, you, if you do this, it will be in the water. And the people from Venice had a point. They're furious because they were like, first of all, the climate change, because they take climate change more seriously than some people believe. And they were like, they're flying here in the private jets and everything. Like, the environment, what are we going to do? And then what is he leaving us with? You know, he's talking about, oh, I'm going to spend so much money here. It's like, you don't even pay. They made a banner that said, if you can afford to rent Venice, you can afford to pay more taxes, right? And and even more so than the sentiment of, like, the big banner was just that they used a really bad picture of him. And I don't know, I'm speaking as a sensitive person. If you got a bad enough picture of me, you really don't need to say anything else. Like, that's, you got me. You got me good. No, I'm going to think about it all day. Because apparently he spent $50 million on the wedding. $50 million. How do you even get to 50 for a wedding? 3 days, 50 million. You got to leave something for the divorce. You spent $50 million knowing you cheat. That's crazy. No, just say it. Thought you were a businessman. And I think a lot of people aren't even really upset about the wedding so much. There's obviously people that are annoyed by the tourism aspect. There are people who live in Venice. They're like, look, it's ruining our cities. Tourism is nice. It's good to make some money, but the way that people come here and what they turn our city into, it's like we're not a prop, you know, we're not a backdrop. We're real people that live here that get inconvenienced by the things that people do when they try to make our entire city about them, you know. And so they protested, and those protests at least worked to the degree that they weren't able to put on the wedding that they initially wanted to, which has made me really happy. I usually want everything to go well at a wedding when it comes to people that I know, maybe don't even know well, but there's just so much pressure that goes into it. I want that for them. And I've never wanted less of that for anyone than Jeff Bezos. Like, just the way... the way that Jeff moves, I was just waiting. I just want so many things to go wrong. Just little things. They had to get on boats to get to other boats. They had to get on a little boat to get to the yacht. I'm like, just fall through the gap. Like, just... that would be nice if he fell through the gap and he's all... you know, he's... you know, and then pull him out of the water by his head so it's slippery, so it takes a while. You know what I mean? No, that would be fire, you know? Or if, like, the DJ played R.E.M., you know? I just wanted one speech to just, like, ruin it, you know what I mean? Like, one speech to be like, as everybody, hey, as me and Jeff are boys. Me and Jeff are boys. We've always been boys, you know what I'm saying? It's like, and then Lauren came. Lauren came and ruined it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, me and Jeff kill somebody together. Like, that's. They'll never find a body, dog. There's so many things that can go wrong. I hope something did. Oh. I know it's not nice, but neither is he, you know? It's like at a certain point, you know, you look at Jeff Bezos as this former CEO of Amazon, and you'll get people who are like, he's not even the CEO anymore. Why is everybody so upset? It's like he's still the executive chairman, and the way that Amazon was run while he was a CEO, it's just a continuation of that thing. You know what I mean? It's still working people to the bone and then chucking them out as soon as you have a robot or an AI that can take their place while pretending that that's better for all of us. And then the environmental, you know, pledges that they make, kind of like skirting around them or dropping them entirely. It's just, it's one of those things where if nothing else, if we don't have anything else but a voice to protest him having a good day, then I think as many people as possible should do that. You know what I mean? Like, it's... And I've just never seen that before. I mean, I've known people who got married and knew that their in-laws didn't like them. I've never seen a protest. That they say, speak now or forever hold your peace, and there's a whole group outside like, I have something to say. If anyone knows why these two should not be wed, speak now. I do. And I don't know. I mean, I look at Jeff Bezos and Lauren Sanchez. I don't know them as people. And I don't, you know, I don't know what their relationship is like. But I hope it's fraught. Like, I hope that it's... No, I just, I hope, look, I hope that they argue a lot. And that when they argue, it gives Bezos a headache that is at least equal to like an Amazon worker who's had a box fall on their head. You know what I mean? Like, it's, if there's just any source of balance in the universe, they will be as much of a headache to each other as they are an impact on the world. And I know that probably won't happen, but we can dream. You know what I mean? Like, I do wonder what their vows were like, genuinely. It's like, I promise to always have money. I don't know. Second wedding, too. You know, his first wife, Mackenzie, definitely, at least in the public sphere, like, won the divorce because people like her. Do you have it? Like, she became a billionaire. When her and Jeff split, she was like a billionaire. And then he was number one, and then he went to like three, and then I think she was like two. I don't know. I don't think that you are a bad person if you're a billionaire, just probably. Like, just like more than likely. Because the only ethical way to become a billionaire seems to be to divorce one, you know? There was one time, once again, early 20s, and a bunch of my friends were getting married, and I had to go to three weddings in about 5 days. Yeah, and so luckily I could afford to like take a train and then fly, take a train, everything. And I don't know. I was young, so I wasn't doing the best planning at all. And sure enough, it comes time for me to head out, and I am about to be late. I stuff everything into a suitcase. I head there. I got one wedding suit because these friends don't know each other, so they're not going to know. You know what I mean? I'm going to show up looking sharp to each one. It's like, Josh, you really did? I'm like, yeah, I did. Go to the first wedding, phenomenal. It's very sweet. It's like intimate ceremony and everything. And next day, I get there early. Second wedding, beautiful, like phenomenal, much, much bigger, right? And then I get down to the third wedding, and I realize that in my haste, not preparing, I didn't really pack well. I have my one suit. I've got like some shirts that I can wear and everything. I'm trying to figure out a place to do laundry, and there's nowhere nearby. And I, you know, my suit is like clean because I'm not a dancer. So I haven't like sweated out. You know what I mean? It's been a lot of like, huh, nice to meet you. Yes. Take off the jacket immediately, make sure that doesn't get musty, change the dress shirt underneath, and sure enough, third wedding. The clothes I had were the last clothes that, like, literally the suit was the last clean thing that I had left. So I was like, all right, I'm coming in clutch, right? And go to the wedding, beautiful ceremony. And then we get to the reception, some speeches, very sweet. Only a little bit like, I just love you. And then it's time to dance, and I'm not really a dancer, but there was a guy, he was the uncle of the groom. He's trying to get everybody to dance because he is a true believer that it's bad luck if everybody doesn't dance at the wedding, even just a little jiggle. So he's getting people up. He's like pulling people to the dance floor. He pulls me. Now, I'm not a dancer, all right? I got a little bit of movement along the same plane. So you'll see me here, and then you'll see me here. And there might potentially be a snap in between. It will not be on beat. It'll be more emotive. But I'll be here, and I'll be here, and I'll be here, and I'll be here. And that was not enough for Uncle Willis, all right? Uncle Willis is over here. Come on, young blood, come on. This is what you gotta keep in mind when you cheer somebody on. Whenever you try to hype somebody up, be sure they can do whatever you're trying to get them to do. I can't stand when people try to act like this the moment in the movie right now where you're gonna hit the beats you've never hit before. Come on, young blood. I'm moving. And I don't know what to do because I'm not a dancer and neither is he. You know, neither is he. Even him calling me Youngblood was like really weird. I don't know this guy at all, but he is like adamant that I can do more. And so he starts dancing with just me. And he's like, come on, get some rhythm into it, right? And I can tell he's too far gone for me to like not acquiesce because it's starting. It's like as he says, get some rhythm into it. And this man starts grabbing my hands to just violently move with his violence. And I'm staying at the one of the two. I'm just doing it faster. I'm like, all right, then I think that's... He's like, use your arms. I'm like, oh. And then this man grabs my hand and whips me around. This man spun me. Nah, dog. And he spun me when I was mid-stride. And so as he spun me, I rolled my ankle, right? And so I rolled my ankle, and it doesn't just hurt like I fell from standing up. It hurts a lot more. It's weird. It hurts so much. It hurts like I fell out of the sky. And so as soon as I fall... He sobers up almost immediately. He's like, oh no, young blood. I'm like, don't call me that. Where did you learn that? And then he helps me limp over to my seat at the table where I was eating. And I can feel my ankle swelling immediately. And so I didn't even think about it. I just kicked off my shoe so I could check my foot. And because I was down to the last clothes that I had, because of the timing that the gift was given, I just popped off my shoe, and he saw he saw an L on my left foot. And he didn't say anything, but I saw him see it. And none of the other groomsmen said anything. But for the rest of the reception, they were all very nice to me.